वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 85th chapter, texts number 22 and 23. 22 is on the board. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Vacho Ova Samavetartam Vacho Ova Samavetartam Tathaita dupaman mahe. Tathaita dupaman mahe. Yannak putran samudishya. Yannak putran samudishya. Tatvagrama udaritah. Tatvagrama udaritah. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Vachova Samavetartam Tathaita Dupamanmahe Yannak Putran Samudhishya Tatvagrama Udaritaha Ladies, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the personality of Godhead said, Vachaha, words, Vaha, your, Samaveta, appropriate, Artam, whose meaning, Tata, O Father, etat these upamanmahe, I consider yat since naha us putran your sons samudishya by referring to tattva of categories of fact. Gramaha, the totality, udaritaha, set forth. Translation. The Supreme Lord said, My dear Father, I consider your statements appropriate, since you have explained the various categories of existence by referring to us, your sons. Purport. Posing as Vasudeva's dependent son, Lord Krishna expresses gratitude for his father's edifying instructions. Edifying means clarifying. So we also read text 23. Aham yuyam aso arya ime cha dvaraka ukshaha sarve pyevam yadu shrishta vinrigyaksa characharam. Not only I, but also you, along with my respected brother, and these residents of Dvarka, should all be considered in the same philosophical light. O best of the Yadus, indeed, we should include all that exists, both moving and non-moving. Purport. To protect his parents' intimate relationship with him, Lord Krishna stresses the oneness of all existence, in this statement to his father, Vasudev. Vasudev had been reminded of his son's greatness by hearing the sages gathered at Kurukshetra. But his sense of awe was ruining his intimate parental relationship with Krishna. And therefore Krishna wanted to dispel it. We should not misunderstand the oneness Lord Krishna speaks of here. The subtle words of the Upanishads often mislead impersonalists into believing that all existence is ineffably one, without any variety in the ultimate issue. Some Upanishadic mantras emphasize the sameness of God and His creation, while others speak about their difference. Tattvam asi shvetaketu. You are that, O Shvetaketu. For example, is an Abheda Vakya, a mantra affirming that all things are one with God, but being His dependent expansions. But the Upanishads also contain many Bheda Vakyas, statements that affirm the unique distinguishing qualities of the Supreme, such as this statement. Ka evanyat ka pranyat yadyesha akasha anandonasyat esha evanandayati. Who would there be to activate the creation and give life to all beings if this infinite supreme were not the original enjoyer? Indeed, he alone is the source of all pleasure, from Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1. By the influence of the Supreme Lord's bewildering maya, envious impersonalists read the Abheda Vakyas literally and accept the Bheda Vakyas only in a figurative way. Authoritative Vaishnava commentators, on the other hand, carefully reconcile the apparent contradictions in accordance with the interpretive principles of Vedic Mimamsak and the logically established conclusions of Vedanta. Om Ajnanatimrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadamaham Vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Si Chaitanya Ishwaram Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Thank you for allowing me to serve you. Lord Krishna is replying to his father Vasudev. And he's replying in a very philosophical way. And he is stressing the oneness, Abheda. Because Vasudev had spoken a lot of Bheda. He had spoken a lot of difference. You are the Supreme, you are so great, and I am obviously so small. So you are great, I'm small, I'm your servant. But that doesn't work for a parental affection. For Vatsalya Ras, the parent cannot be inferior to the child. The parent has to be superior, otherwise it's not possible. So, Krishna is bringing things back to center by speaking Abheda, which means oneness, in order to balance out the statements of Vasudev, his father. Now, before he does that, he listens very attentively to what his father has got to say. That's quite interesting. Because not only did he listen to all the instructions of the sages, but he also heard his father's great glorification, proclamation of enunciating Vedic wisdom. Now Krishna could say, hey, whoa, you know, I am the goal and the knower of the Vedas, so don't try to teach me this thing. But he just heard him out very humbly, patiently, and he appreciated. So we can see that simply by attentive and empathic listening, the person who listens can win the heart of the person who speaks. Shushrushro sharadadhanasya vasudeva katharuchi sanmahatsevaya viprat punyatirtani sevanat. This hearing process is very much emphasized in our tradition. At the end of the purport, Mimamsakavas explain, and we'll speak about it later on, of all the different types of praman. What is the strongest praman? Shabda. Hearing the Shruti, right? And the Smriti. Hearing the Vedic aphorisms. This is the highest form of truth. So to hear is very important. Shravanam kirtanam vishno smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam is the first process to hear. One might say, but I already read the books, I know the philosophy, I would like to speak now. Right? Sometimes we have that urge. But we can see how sadhus win the heart of their audience by listening to them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened for 7 days to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. 7 days without saying one word. He heard. And there was a lot of Mayavad. There was a lot of Abheda, Vakya. But then because he had captured the heart of Sarvabhauma because of his attentive listening and his submission, Sarvabhauma became endeared and he became conquered, subjugated by the active listening of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yesterday during lunch we heard how Prabhupada conquered the hearts of so many of his followers simply by listening to them. He would listen to their questions and answer, and listen some more and answer, till the person would run out of questions. And the Prabhupada said, any other questions? And the person said, no. Okay, so what's it going to be? You going to surrender or what? So then a person surrendered because there was no more argument. There was no more, nothing anymore to tell. I remember when I came here in the initial days, Maharaj would just listen to me. And I was talking about so many things that were going on in my life. Not very substantial. But he would just listen. Not in a bored or in a impatient or in a annoyed way. But in a very interested, in a very compelled, in a very participatory mood. And so I really got to like this, you know? Finally, somebody who listens to me. So, and you meet so many people who have become captured by a sadhu because the sadhu listened to him. Then eventually, after a while, I run out of things to say. I actually started listening a little bit more. And things started to make sense and the clouds started to clear up. But eventually, it was important for me to have somebody who actually was paying attention. Some people, they want to be told. Some people, they want to be sold. Some people, they want to be cajoled. But everybody wants to be heard. Some people want to be told, like the culture, the traditional culture is, when you go to sadhu, you want to be told, right? So you just ask question and you want to hear the kata. Some people want to be sold. Okay, you have to convince me. Give me arguments. Give me reason. Give me logic. You have to convince me now. It's your job. Some people, they want to be cajoled. Cajoled means applauded, encouraged, praised. But everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to be heard. If we learn the art of empathic listening, of actually paying attention and being interested in people individually, you can capture their heart. Of course, there is a new category of people also that is becoming more and more prominent, even in our own institution. There are people who want to be paid. They want to be paid. And they're in different categories, but they just feel, I want to be paid. Right? That's why people are moving so fast in this day and age, because they're in debt. Why is there so much motor passion? Because people are in debt, because they took too much loan for a place they couldn't afford, for a car they couldn't really manage to pay. So they want to be paid. And sometimes that even comes into spiritual institutions, that people are primarily here and they think, what can I get? Can I get paid? So giving people real Krishna conscious attention creates a sense of gratitude, creates a sense of commitment, and a sense of participation. We would like to turn spectators into participators. It's not enough to just have an audience. Oh, I have a crowd, and I'm talking to the crowd. Unless that crowd feels a sense of ownership, a sense of participation, there won't be any real commitment for them to take action. That's why the process of psychotherapy is usually not very useful, because a person comes, they sit down on a couch, they speak, the other person asks a couple of things, then they pay the money and they go, and they do the same thing again that they did before. Same thing happens in confession. People go to church, temple, mosque, and they confess. And they say, okay, I've been a bad boy. And they say a few prayers. They put some coin in the box and they go out and they do the exact same thing that they did before. Why? Because there is no change of heart. It's compared to the bathing of the elephant. Mana kunjara sochavat. It doesn't really make any big difference. So if we want to have impact, if we want to actually transform the lives of people, then we have to learn the art of giving people Krishna conscious attention, which is not just a matter of, okay, I hear you, and now you politely have to hear me, and then we both feel so good that we had some little moment of, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. And then they all go home. A doctor has first to diagnose the patient before he can prescribe the medicine. Often we are too quick on the draw. We're too trigger happy. We want to give solutions. And it doesn't do justice to the audience. So as preachers, we should follow in Krishna's footsteps and learn the art of paying attention and listening attentively and hearing out our audience, okay, what do they have to say? You may say, they're the audience, I'm the speaker, they have to listen to me. Wrong. They have a problem. We have to hear them first. And once we have actually heard them, we have actually understood them, half of the problem is already solved. Have you ever noticed in your own life, when you met a sadhu, and you shared your heart, you shared your grief, your plight, half the problem was already solved just because somebody took an active interest in you? Has this ever happened to you? So in the same way, we should follow in the footsteps of Lord Krishna and learn the art of taking active interest in people's lives. Prabhupada would remember the names of the people that he met. He would write them down. And he was very good at memorizing names, places. And people feel very touched, personally touched, if you actually manage to remember them. Now Vasudeva was talking a lot of bheda, a lot of difference, and it was spoiling his Vatsalya Ras because it was creating too much separation, too much individuality, too much distance. So Krishna here is speaking abheda, unity, pointing out how what you have been saying does not only apply to me, it also applies to my brother Balaram. It also applies to you because you're also a spirit soul. So we're of the same category. In fact, it applies to all of existence. Wherever you find life, you will find this principle that you have just elaborated upon. So he was stressing the oneness and bringing things back to center. Now, sometimes oneness is overemphasized. Like you have this prominent saying that is still very current. It's all good. Did you ever hear this? It's all good, man. Right? It's all good. It's very prominent in the West. Here, it's got different connotations. There is different vakyas. But it's the same thing. It's all good. Whatever you do is good. Huh? But it doesn't really work. We get to that. Just like Christians, for instance, they have said, Jesus is God. Now, Jesus never said He was God. He always said, there's the Father, I'm the Son. He always made it very clear. The message is the same. The family is the same. The goal is the same. But the personalities are distinct, separate. But they have changed the philosophy to say, Jesus is God, so everything is one. And it's created a huge problem. A huge problem. So this philosophy is very common nowadays. Everything is one. It's all good. One person came to a preaching program and he was propounding that philosophy. So the preacher said, so everything is one? The man said, yes. So he said, so then you and I are also one? He said, yes, of course. So then he said, so your watch, your wallet is also my watch and my wallet? He said, yes, of course. So he said, okay, please give it to me. So he had to hand it over, reluctantly. And then the next day he came back to the temple. And he said, I need $20. Can you at least give me $20? So he was showing that it's not all one. Huh? It's all one in some ways. But in some ways it's all different. This philosophy has also infiltrated our own movement. Initially, when people used to join the ashram, there was not even your individual clothes. People would share dhotis, they would share kopins. Everything was common property. Communism, reign. You just enter the merge. And it created problems. As we know, historically, no need to analyze. Sometimes people thought, oh, it's Krishna's car. I don't have to put oil into it. I don't have to make sure it's parked in the right place because it belongs to Krishna. It's all one, right? Wrong. So communism hasn't really worked that great. If you look at Russia or China, they are now professing neo-capitalism. Because that oneness has not really been successful in satisfying the people. It has not been successful because we're not all one. We're individuals. We're distinct. There is individuality. There's different personality, different inclinations. Then sometimes, especially in the modern, some call it Western, I just call it modern, the difference is too much emphasized. Yatamat tatapat. Just follow your own path. Whatever you do is good. Just do your own thing. Now when we stress the oneness, Mayavad philosophy, impersonalism is the danger. And I think we're well aware of the impersonalistic Mayavad philosophy because Prabhupada has elaborately expanded upon it in his books. Now when the difference is too much emphasized, individuality, what happens? There is too much personal ambition and lack of unity, lack of community, lack of common goal and common vision. And what happens? What is the result of that? Ultra-capitalism. Again, impersonalism. It again becomes impersonal. In which way? You can see that everybody wants to do their own thing and they disrespect the interests of others. The interest of the group gets abolished. So it's again impersonalism. So Prabhupada came to do what? Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatyadesha Tarine. He came to defeat impersonalism and voidism by establishing the principles of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Mayavadis are very personal in their impersonalism. Have you noticed? Especially here in India, there's many Mayavadi groups, but they're very personal, some of them, in their impersonalism. They're very nice in their hospitality. They're very catering to a very specific target group, keeping them happy. So they're very expert in doing that. And sometimes the devotees, the bhaktas, they're very impersonal in their personalism. Have you ever noticed that? Huh? It's a danger. Just to give you two small examples. One time a devotee was chanting, walking up and down, and he was walking up to another devotee who was standing there who had a watch. So instead of asking the devotee, what time is it? He just picked up that devotee's hand and he pulled it up and he looked at the watch and he put it down and he walked away. Now he could have just asked, Prabhu, what time is it? Can you please tell me? No, he just picked up his arm, looked at the watch and walked away. Now you might say, I don't do these things, you know. Has it ever happened to you that you walk to prasadam and the server is ready to serve you exactly what you want, exactly what you need? But you thought, no, he can't possibly satisfy me. So even though he's there with the spoon in his hand, you grab the spoon from his hand and you start serving yourself and then you drop the spoon and you walk away without saying anything. Has this ever happened or have you ever witnessed that? Purely Mayavad. Pakka Mayavad. And I know it has happened to most of us in one way or the other. And it makes you feel like, you know, I don't feel the love here. You know? So, we have to be careful that this Mayavad tendency does not creep in. Because otherwise people will feel, but these Mayava groups are so personal. They're so nice. You know, they know my name. They know my dog's name. They send me postcards. They're really taking care of me. But what's the Siddhanta? What's the philosophy? Merge, 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 merge. Right? All becomes one. And then they come here and everything, what's the philosophy? What's the Siddhanta? Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're His individual servant. We all have eternal relationships with the Lord and with each other, with His parts and parcels, through the service, through bhakti. But sometimes impersonalism creeps in. So we have to speak about this in order to restore the balance. Prabhupada makes a one-liner in his purport to Tadvidi Pranipatena. And he says, both absurd inquiry and blind following have to be avoided, have to be given up. Huh? Just blindly following has to be given up. And absurd inquiry or just doing your own thing also has to be given up. I'd like to read a verse and purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is very much succinct. Because Srila Prabhupada, who is our founder Acharya, he is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. He has come to destroy impersonalism and voidism. Now one time a devotee asked Prabhupada, you're talking about these Mayavadis all the time. in your lectures, in your books, in your morning walks, in your discussions, Mayavadis, this, that, this, that. Who are these Mayavadis? And Prabhupada said, you are that Mayavadi. So, because that is the disease of this age, and the doctor has to diagnose the disease in order to prescribe and to administer the medicine. So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 10th chapter, text number 113. Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha Arara Sabasa Shunite Nahaya Prabhura Chitera Ulasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never pleased to hear books or verses opposed to the conclusive statements of devotional service. The Lord did not like hearing rasbas, the overlapping of transcendental mellows, purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha refers to that which is against the principles of unity in diversity, philosophically known as Achintya Bheda Bheda, simultaneous oneness and difference. Whereas Rasa Bhas is something that may appear to be a transcendental mellow, but actually is not. Those who are pure Vaishnavas should avoid both these things opposed to devotional service. These misconceptions practically parallel the Mayavad philosophy. If one indulges in Mayavad philosophy, he gradually falls down from the platform of devotional service. By overlapping mellows, rasa bhas, one eventually becomes a prakrita sahajya and takes everything to be very easy or cheap. One may also become a member of the bowel community and gradually become attracted to material activities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to avoid Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha and Rasa Bhas. In this way, the devotee can remain pure and free from fall downs. Everyone should try to remain aloof from Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha and Rasa Bhas. Now, Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, wrote a letter to Kirtanananda in 73, and he said that all our men should come yearly to Mayapur to do what? Sankirtan, yes. Of course, obviously. But what else? What was the specific instruction that he said? Why they should come every year to Mayapur? You can do Sankirtan in your own temple. You can do Sankirtan wherever you are. Why should all the men go to Mayapur every year? To do what? To discuss what? Unity in diversity. Because to find that balance is very difficult. It's very easy to get into oneness. It's very easy to get into difference. But to keep the balance between unity and diversity, that requires intelligence, that requires discussion, that requires a group effort, which means individual participation, individual ownership, but also individual sacrifice and making concessions for the sake of the common vision, for the sake of the common interest. So Prabhupada wanted this because this unity in diversity is restoring this balance. Now, some people say never change, always keep things the same, right? Have you heard this? Whatever you do, don't change. For the next 10,000 years, things have to stay the same. And some people, they say, always change. No matter what you do, it's got to be different, right? It has to be different. Because it can't possibly be the same. But we have to find that balance. So where is that balance coming in between tradition and innovation? We saw Prabhupada did many adjustments. He made many things. We spoke a little bit in our offering about it. Prabhupada instituted quite some new ideas in his ISKCON society in order to deliver the timeless message of Lord Krishna in a contemporary, relevant, and accessible way. And he expected his followers to do the same thing. He didn't say, no matter what comes, do the same thing for the next 10,000 years. He said, go to Mayapur and discuss unity and diversity. In previous days, there was no books. People would just speak and hear, and that was that. All of a sudden, people started writing things down. All of a sudden, books were printed. All of a sudden, there was the internet. There is now so many ways, so many mediums how to attract people. But although there is so much diversity, are we still unified? Or has the diversity created divisiveness? Have you ever heard the saying, curiosity kills the monkey? There's a monkey, he was very curious. Because monkeys are curious kind of fellows, right? They do dangerous stuff just because they're curious. So he came, there was a tree, it's got a log in it. So he started tearing at that log till the log came out and choom, that was the end of the monkey. So curiosity killed the monkey. And we have another saying that personal ambition kills the sadhu. If the sadhu is too personally motivated and he's got too much ambition, too much Ishvara Bhav, it can spoil, it can ruin his bhakti. So we'd like to speak a little bit about this. How to balance these things. First, there's a very nice book by His Holiness Purnachandra Maharaj, Unspoken Obstacles on the Path of Bhakti. It's available in our library. I read it every few years as a tonic just to stay healthy. Also, I just read in Rupa Shiksha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about avoiding the weeds that make choke the creeper of devotion. Upashaka. You have shak, you have the spinach, you have the good stuff, bhakti lata bij, but then you have other things that grow. And sometimes they may grow very luxuriantly. Like in Kali Yuga, the karma bij, the jnana bij, the I'm going to do my own thing bija. That plant is very strong because the ground is very fertile for that kind of attitude. So it may even overshadow the bhakti creeper and it may choke it. So an expert gardener knows the difference and can pluck out these weeds. Now who is a sadhu? A sadhu is an honest man and not a duplicitous person. He's a person who has the self-interest of each and everyone at heart. And he's helping the practitioner to pluck out those weeds. It is not a person who has the same problem or who plants those seeds. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was personally showing us in the way how he treated his devotees, how unity in diversity works. There was a big group of devotees, big sangha, a lot of devotees. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, long list of names. But there was a lot of individuality. They were all unique in their own way or form. And everybody had their own talents. And also everybody had their own weaknesses. Because weakness can also be beauty, you know. If something is fragile, there's beauty to it. It's not that only big, chunky, strong can be admired. But there has to be subtlety. There has to be some flavors there. So, Vasudev Datta was so compassionate that he was ready to take the sinful reactions of every living entity in the universe. Even the people he didn't know. Even the people who were not from his caste, color, creed or country. Even those who were not humans, he was ready to take everyone's karma and go to hell for eternity in order to liberate them. Now, Mahaprabhu cried tears of compassion and affection when he remembered Vasudev Datta. But he appointed Shivananda Sena as the Sarakela, as the secretary for his finances. Because he said, this person doesn't see any differences. But he's a grihastha, how can he maintain himself and his family? So he appointed somebody else to take care of his affairs. He told Shivananda Sen also, you take care of these 200 devotees who come to Puri every year. And you look out for them. So they have food, they have accommodation. So he gave very clear instructions. Nowadays, the tendency is not so much for oneness. The tendency is more for individuality. which creates too much individuality, creates divisiveness. Now, when you come to Krishna consciousness initially, oftentimes people are told, okay, you don't have an opinion, you don't have a voice, you just shut up and listen. Keep on rowing, okay? Keep your mouth shut and keep on rowing. Huh? And if the person asks, where are you going? What's the goal? They say, it doesn't matter. It's not your business to ask. I remember one time I was a new bhakta. I went on Sankirtan and I asked, where are we going today? My Sankirtan leader said, that's not your business to ask. It's my job to figure that out. So for a few years, I was just happy-go-lucky. Whenever the van stopped and the door opened, I jumped out like a parachute guy. You know, you just drop him out. And I didn't know where I was. I asked people, okay, what's the name of the town? Where are we? The only thing I knew was 630, this street corner. That's the only thing I knew, you know. But after a while, I started to know the geography and, you know, the game plan and the idea started to make sense. Then after some time, you become a group leader, a Sankirtan leader, a van leader, a something, and you start taking on responsibility, and then the tendency is too much Ishvara Bhav comes in. Oh, I'm controlling things. Nobody can do something if I'm not here. What? That means if you're not here, nothing gets done. If you're not here, no breakfast will get served. If you're not here, people can't go and take bath. That's the other danger. So we have to keep things balanced. In Kali Yuga, the tendency is Ishwaroham Mahambogi. I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. And who has volunteered to give us his own personal example for that? Indradev, right? So many nice stories in the Bhagavatam. How Indra was feeling, I'm in charge. And is he in charge? Yes, he's the king of heaven. He directs all the demigods. He controls the weather. That's pretty powerful. That's much more powerful than all of us put together. But because of that tendency of Ishvara Bhav, what happens? He tends to become a little insensitive to other people's needs. Just like Brihaspati walks in, he doesn't get up. He disrespects his own guru. Big problem. Big difficulty. He gets too much involved with personal infatuation and sense gratification. And he commits serious mistakes of judgment and starts seeing friend as enemy and enemy as friend. And he gets himself into trouble. So why are these examples there in the Bhagavatam? Not just as historical accounts, but to show us that these are the dangers. These are the textbook examples of dangers that we should avoid. Now, there has to be a sense of personal ownership and striving. Otherwise, nothing happens. If people say, oh, I'm just here to be told, there's no sense of ownership of mission. Then if nobody's there to tell, to give you marching orders, you won't do anything on that particular day. That's not very good. So where does that switch, that transformation happen? Like initially you come, you're outside, then it's VT, VTA, VT, BT, this, that, the other thing, so many abbreviations. Where does that switch in consciousness come? Where, oh, yes, Prabhupada said, be independently thoughtful and self-reliant. Think with your own head, walk with your own 2 feet. Where does that come in? That's the achintya factor. That's why it says, achintya beda beda tattva. So who is achintya? That's Krishna. Bhishma Dev is glorifying Krishna and saying, even though you're equal to all living entities, you have taken special interest in protecting my promise and in protecting Arjuna's promise. So much so that you're ready to break your own promise. So even though you're equal to all, you're also showing individuality and personal affection. And that is very puzzling. It's quite bewildering. Also, Bhumi Devi, in her prayers, she's telling Prithu, you are the same Varaha who protected me. You're that same person. And now you want to kill me? How is that possible? So we may say that there's this inconsolable difference. It's something you cannot reconcile. But Krishna is achintya. So He is the one who can balance all these things. Just like he's balancing all the universes on his head. Krishna is balancing Govardhan on his left pinky for 7 days. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his associate said, "We don't believe that you're a cowboy. We just don't believe it. You know, you don't look like a cowboy. Give us proof that you actually are a cowboy." So Mahaprabhu took a stick and he started throwing that stick in the air and twirling it around and throwing it underneath his legs and behind his back and throwing it around. And everybody said, "Okay, all right, we accept, you're a cowboy." Because that's what cowboys do. They know how to move and how to work with their stick. So bhakti means selfless love, which does not go into extremes which obliterate individuality or communality. We need individuality, but we also need communality. Too much awe reverence ruins intimacy. But too much intimacy creates sahajya tendency. Things are taken cheaply. So where does the balance come in? The balance comes in by practicing Krishna consciousness with compassion in the way that Vasudev Datta has showed to us. So Srila Prabhupada has asked us, no matter what, stay in ISKCON and serve. Even if sometimes certain individual situations may not be 100%. Just like when you go to the holy river to take bath, sometimes there is some dirt. Sometimes there is dead bodies floating. So what do? You just let it pass and then you take your bath. So in the same thing in ISKCON, sometimes you see some dirt. Sometimes you see some dead bodies. So what do? You just let it pass. And you continue doing the process of hearing and chanting. Continue taking shelter of the holy name, taking shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness. Now when Prabhupada went to the West, and we can also see the example of His Holiness Srila Radhanath Maharaj, what is he mostly speaking about in the West? Unity. Right? What's that shloka? Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichaiva sopake cha pandita samadarshina. How many times have we heard this shloka being quoted? Many times, right? Because everybody is too much individualistic. So you have to counterbalance it and bring it to oneness. Okay, there's oneness here. I met one man out there on the corner near Marine Drive. I gave him the book and he said, "You know what? I'm from Jatipur, you know. I'm following Krishna. But you and the Bhaktas, you're from Manasi Ganga. You're from that other camp, you know. And there's difference between us. There's different ideas. There's different opinion." I said, "Hare Baba, it's all about Krishna, right?" He said, "Yeah, you're right. It's all about Krishna. Okay." And he gave me the money. <You know? laughs> So sometimes there's too much oneness, you have to stress the difference. Sometimes there's too much difference, you have to stress the oneness. How do you become aware? How can you do that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are His eternal servants. And there are unlimited amount of gopis, unlimited amount of gopas. And there's no problem. There's no contradiction. But there's individuality. But there's no divisiveness. Because they're all clear on what is the goal. They're all clear on what do we want to achieve. We want to please Krishna. It's not that they will say, "Oh, I have to have it my way. Because that's the way how things are. Because I'm in charge. And everybody has to follow me." No. It's what will please Krishna. As Prabhupada said, "Your love for me will be shown in as much as you cooperate when I'm gone." Now our gurus are still here, but already divisiveness is here. The etiquette is that you wait till the guru is gone. Then you start fighting. Then you start the divisiveness. Not while he's here. Because it's kind of embarrassing to the guru if he sees his followers not agreeing with each other. That can happen once the guru has passed on, but not while he is here. So we should not, in the name of individuality, become divisive. And in the name of oneness, we should not become lethargic and inert and say, I don't have an opinion. I'm simply a robot. Don't you see the switch on the back of my head? Unless somebody flips that switch, I'm not going to move. So there has to be balance. And that balance comes by taking a sense of ownership, by taking shelter of Krishna consciousness, and by actually studying Prabhupada's books. In Brahma Sanghita 5.8, it is explained by Lord Brahma how the supreme regulatrix is known for the devotees as Rama Devi, the internal potency, and for the materialists is Durga or Maya. Is the regulatrix, the one which keeps everything regulated in balance. So the more we have gravity, the more we actually focus on Krishna, and we keep Krishna in the center. What is gravity? Many of you are engineers. You heard about gravity, right? The law of gravity. It is the force that attracts. So we should ask ourselves, what is the force that attracts me? What is it that I'm drawn to? Make a list. Write it down. What are the things that I'm attracted to? Because that's gravity. And that's what will give me gravity. Now gravity comes, Sanskrit is there, guru, heavy. In Latin, gravis, it means heavy. It's about gravity. How can we develop gravity? By understanding what is actually weighty, what is serious, what is important in life. What is extreme importance? A person who is grave has a solemnity of manner, is very grave. Like sometimes people look at Prabhupada's picture and you say, why is he so serious? Right? Because he's grave. He's very deep. Sometimes they looked at a picture and they said, oh, you look very angry or very stern on that picture. Prabhupada said, that was a moment of deep ecstasy when that picture was taken. Because he was very deep. If we find that we are not very deep, that we're all over the place, we're distracted, we have so many individual ideas and desires, if we connect ourselves through the mission of Guru and Gauranga, we establish a strong bond, a strong link, then we'll also have gravity. You have to hold on to something that's firm. You can't hold on to things that are fallible fighting soldiers. Nowadays in this world, people have chosen so many Mahajans. Any sports star, movie star, musician, whoever is considered a hero if they can give you sense gratification. But Tarko Pratishta Shuta Yogi Binnam, our Mahajans are clear. We have to follow our spiritual predecessors. And to the degree that we do that and we connect with the order of Guru in our own unique way, seeing the commonality and working together as a team for the common goal, to that degree we'll have gravity, we'll be grounded, and to that degree we'll actually have success in Krishna consciousness. Dhruva was a young boy, 5 years old. He was rejected in the palace. He felt offended. But because he followed the order of Narad, he followed the order, the instruction of his guru, and he went to Madhuvan, he developed so much gravity that the entire universe was shaking. If we want to develop impact in our own lives and in the life of others, we should do the same as Dhruva did. Our Madhuvan is right here. Right here where we are. What are you doing? I'm developing gravity by connecting with the center of all attraction, Radha Gopinath, through the process of bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if we do that, then all the other endeavors that we do, they will be meaningful. All the other connections that we have, They will be fruitful. All the other various interests that we have and various people that we meet, they will get impacted by the potency of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. I'd like to take one or two questions, if there is. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you. In your, you're speaking about active listening, and sometimes we don't like to make too many relationships with too many people, because it's like we don't have so much mental space, and it seems like a burden to make relationships, which shouldn't be at all. So how can we actually want to make relationships with everyone?
Well, by understanding, first of all, thank you. By understanding, first of all, I'm a person. And as a person, I have personal relationships. I can't be a non-person. I can't be a non-entity. It just doesn't work by definition, because you are what you are. So we can only achieve a sense of happiness and a sense of satisfaction in Krishna consciousness by establishing those relationships. Now, you may have a relationship with only a few people, like a small child. Small child only knows mother and father to some extent. But that's all they know. But that's fine for some time period. And then other people come into the picture. So we are a person and we have personal relationships. That's perfectly all right. And to the degree that we realize that and we get out of this impersonal tendency, we think relationships creates trouble, right? Kunti Devi says, all difficulty arises from social interaction. So what's the conclusion? No more social interaction, right? No. The conclusion is Krishna conscious relationships with Krishna in the center, which will harmonize, which will balance everything. And in this way, you know, like in a big orchestra, when you hear Ratha Yatra, there were so many chanters, so many dancers, so many mridanga players, so many kartals players, but everything was harmonious. Because it was all for the pleasure of the Lord, all for the pleasure of Jagannath. So the more we realize who is in the center, it's because we have not really understood what is the vision. We don't have a clear idea of what is the goal. That's why this haziness, this confusion comes in. And it can happen to each and every one of us. Even Dhruva, he got confused at one point. And he went after those yakshas. And he thought, I need to finish all these yakshas. Till Manu came in and said, whoa, 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 you know? Was it Manu or who came to cool him down? Manu, yeah. He said, cool it down, you know? Like, they have their duty, you have your duty. So you've done your duty, now it's time for Shanti. So we need to take guidance, because otherwise the tendency is to go overboard. Like, the tendency is to speak longer than necessary. So we need to take guidance. So Krishna is there in the form of Paramatma. If we can't hear Paramatma, there are other people who are getting impatient or hungry or just walk out, you know. And so Krishna has different ways of teaching us. But the most satisfying, the most gratifying, the most productive, the most happy way of learning is by giving full attention to sadhus. Even if initially we have to do a little bit of talking and griefing, the sadhus will take it. They won't mind. And then we have to start paying attention. And then some actual transformation can happen. So if we take that guidance, we can actually come to a point of balance in our life. I've been told. It is possible. So I'd like to thank you all very much for your kind attention and also for practicing Krishna consciousness in such an authentic way to give solace, to give shelter to so many people who can themselves experience Krishna in His factor of gravity. Because that is very attractive. If you find somebody who is stable, who is strong in the storm, who is your lighthouse, your guiding light, your beacon, That is very attractive. So Srila Prabhupada has given us these instructions in his teachings. The more we study them, the more we apply them, and the more we make plans on how to implement them as a loving community of individuals who are ready to suppress their own ambition, their own differences, for the sake of pleasing Krishna and furthering the mission, the more we'll actually have success and impact. And Prabhupada said, it's permissible to study other groups and see how they're successful. A few days ago, the head of the Swaminarayan group passed away. You might have heard. Now, in a very short period of time, in a couple of decades, they built almost 1,000 temples around the world. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So we can study, okay, what worked? We can see Christianity, they've been around 2,000 years. What worked? What didn't work? ISKCON has been here for 50 years. We have 650 centers. We have more than 1,000 ISKCON friendly affiliates. Some of them are friendly, some of them are neutral, Shantaras. Some of them are not so friendly. Now, we have to see how we can keep the unity, even though there is variety and there is individuality. There is room for individuality in Krishna consciousness. Krishna, He can accommodate everybody. At the same time, let us work together, keeping Prabhupada's mission, His mood, His philosophy. This is our Mahavakya, our guiding principle. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam, Ekalaishvara Krishna Arasava Britya. And then things will harmonize. The small little differences, they will smoothen out. So yes, not keep on rowing and keep your mouth shut, but keep on chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.